Mr. House, penetrating and perfect truth, and seldom better, even in 100,000 myriad colors. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. I want to talk for a few minutes about the Sangha verse and just explain briefly about how it answers fundamental questions. Here's two questions that the verse answers. Here's one question. How can I have been so stupid to have done that? Whatever that was. Fill in your own blanks there. Here's another question. How could this have happened to me? So the first part of the verse, the main body of the verse, answers that question. And the verse starts, all wrong actions, behavior and karma perpetrated by me. And you could also say all wrong actions, behavior and karma perpetrated upon me also. We don't usually think of it that way. But for those who've been the victim of terrible things, painful things, the verse explains that too. So, all wrong actions, behavior, and karma perpetrated by me, or upon me, are caused by greed, hate, and delusion, which have no beginning. These are born of my body, mouth, and will. And when they're perpetrated upon us, they're born of others' bodies, mouths, and will, as well as our own. The question, how can I have been so stupid to have done that? The only answer, that the real answer that one is ever going to come up with is this answer, greed, hate, and delusion, which have no beginning. Which has no beginning means that no matter how far back you go in the stream of karma, there's still greed, hate, and delusion. Love makes the world go round, as the saying is. Well, greed, hate, and delusion make the wheel of rebirth go around. And they're not so different as they may sound, because what are greed, hate, and delusion ultimately but saddened love? Its various manifestations. When beings are the victims of the actions of others, there's a karmic history behind that. That karmic history explains why it is that things happen that happen. It can be a very complex history. We only ever need to see as much as we actually need to see, which can be very different from as much as we would like to see sometimes. But in either case, whether one is doing Sangha as perpetrator or victim, or any combination of the two, the answer of where did it come from is in greed, hate, and delusion, which have no beginning. Now, here's another question. That is, given these circumstances, what can I do about it? If these things happened in the past, and even, you know, one moment ago is still the past, if these things happened in the past, what can I do about it now? And the Sangha verse says, the first sound step, there may be other steps necessary, but this first sound step has to come first. If the Sangha is to be a true Sangha, if there's to be a true cleansing of the heart, in other words, let's call Sangha here cleansing. Cleansing of the heart. Or unburdening the heart. go through the verse again. All wrong action, behavior, and karma perpetrated by me from time immemorial have been and are caused by greed, hate, and delusion, which have no beginning. Born of my body, mouth, and will, I now make full and open confession thereof. So that I now make full and open confession thereof is the answer to the second question, what can we do about it? Now, if you're from a Catholic background, or know about the Catholic confessional, kind of the first thing you tend to think of is going to the confessional and telling a priest about it. That's not what is meant here. So let's do a little rewording to show more what the meaning is in the context of meditation. Instead of I now make full and open confession thereof, let's say I now place the memory of these events on the altar of the heart and offer it up to the eternal. There is something one has done or something has been done to one. You know, we live with the consequences, and we can offer the whole package in either case, in both cases. We have to offer the whole package up. And that's why I call it also a deburdening. Where we had the sense that we were carrying it alone, and that there was a kind of gap between this painful and sometimes shameful event and the immaculacy of the eternal, now there is no gap. The compassion of the eternal, the true immaculacy, does not despise anything that's offered with a sincere heart. There is no despising. There is no judgment. So we open our heart and allow the compassion of the eternal, the help of the eternal, the wisdom of the eternal to stream in upon that burden. And we're no longer carrying it alone. We always live with the consequences of our actions. This is not magic where karmic consequences just erase. But as Dogen says so beautifully and so truly, contrition makes that burden of karmic consequence easier to bear by bringing freedom and immaculacy. In any case, if we think about it for a moment, it wouldn't really be so good if we were to just forget all the things we've done that we now wish perhaps we hadn't. Or if we forget the actions of others that have been painful to us. Both of them have teaching in them from which we can learn, which we need to learn. So it isn't a matter of simply erasing it so the thought never exists anymore. It's a matter of getting it unstuck in guilt and grief, self-blame, and blame of others, and allowing it to undergo its natural transformation and conversion within the column of the compassion and mercy of the eternal.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to this scripture.